Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Ron, did you steal my phone?
Where'd my phone go? I would have no use for your phone, Joe.
Somebody took it. Are you sure?
It's not on your head. Those are your glasses.
Right. Although I've done that before. And as I've told you, I've been talking on my phone to my wife, telling her I can't find my phone. Here it is. All right. Let's go out to the Nemecolon fan hotline where we find Brian Batko, the Batconian mongoose. He's been called in various circles. He covers the Steelers, and he does a wonderful job. Brian, how are you?
Doing great. How are you guys?
Doing wonderful. I love the shots that you've been running of you leaving on road trips the way they do with the actual players. I think those are very, very evocative, very intriguing.
Thanks, Joe. I'm still waiting for a sponsorship deal to come of that, but maybe next year will be waiting for me.
Well, the odds are out for the Steelers' next quarterback, whatever we want to make of those. Horst just tweeted them, and if I could find them, I would be very happy to tell you what they are, but I can tell you.
I've got them. I always get those dumb emails. I actually have two lists of odds that I've gotten within the last 24 hours. They're very similar, but not exactly alike.
Well, let me start with this, with Shapiro. He has Mason Rudolph as a pretty prohibitive favorite. Are you in agreement with that? Do you expect Mason Rudolph to be under center when the Steelers open in September?
Yeah, I think I'd put it this way, Joe. If I have to bet on one horse in the entire race, I'm putting my money on him. But if it's Rudolph versus the field, I might go with the field just because of so much uncertainty. And I think back to a few years ago, I wasn't covering the team yet, but I was doing some research and looking at this. They're not exactly the same situation. I mean, one guy's vying to be a starter, the other was a backup, but it was pretty surprising when the Steelers released Landry Jones back in 2018 after signing him to a two-year deal before that. So I guess there is some precedent for saying we're committing to a quarterback and then turning around and saying he's not even the guy that we want at that spot anymore.
I believe the second guy on Shapiro's list is Derek Carr. Is that true, Joe? Is that the list you're looking at?
Yes, Derek Carr, 7-1.
What do you think the odds are of somebody coming in from the outside, not named Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson?
Yeah, Ron, I mean, listening to Tomlin talk about that on Tuesday, and I kind of pressed him on it, asking about that Jay Glazer report that, you know, he doesn't want to start over with a rookie, considering, you know, 5 minutes before I brought that up, he sounded very open to starting over with a rookie. And, there's this notion that he wants to transition from Ben to another veteran. And I think based on Tomlin's comments, he doesn't consider Rudolph and Haskins veterans at this point, even though they've got, 3 and 4 years in the league, respectively. So, you know, somebody like Carr, I feel like Tomlin kind of ruled him out. But I guess you never know if the Raiders are going to move on from him, which, you know, according to the salary cap sites, they could do that and save almost $20 million and have no dead money. So if he does come on the market, I think you owe it to yourselves if you're the Steelers, to look into that. And Tomlin kind of left open that possibility as well, since he kept mentioning the draft and free agency. And he laid it out there that, like any position, you have to take into account what the cost is going to be to acquire somebody like that. And I can't imagine for Carr that it would be cheap versus the value of the draft. And I know you guys, or at least Joe's kind of been banging the drum for, if you're going to take a quarterback, it better be someone you believe in to take in the first round. But I don't know if it's always that simple. I think you've got to grade these guys and figure if someone's going to drop to you at 20 or something like that, and then the juice is worth the squeeze, then maybe you go a different route.
Well, we've started a new feature on Cook and Joe, and it's been very exciting for everybody. It's our quarterback of the day, and our first two were Kirk Cousins and Jameis Winston. We gave the thumbs down to Cousins because of the gigantic cap hit, and we gave a thumbs up to Winston. All things being relative, Winston compared to what they have. Your thoughts on those two guys?
Yeah, I think Cousins is a solid player, maybe better than people give him credit for, widely, myself included. But no, I think the cap hit with him is prohibitive. He's just become an albatross a little bit for the Vikings, and it would be the same way, I suppose, if anybody else wanted to get into the mix to acquire his services. I mean, Jameis was okay this year in New Orleans before he went down with the injury. I suppose with these ACLs, you don't worry about it as much with a quarterback as you do some other positions. Just look at Joe Burrow and Dak Prescott. So, I mean, yeah, that would be intriguing to me in a sense with Winston. I'm more intrigued, though, by this quarterback of the day feature on the Cook and Joe show, because if you're going to do it until the draft, like, by that last couple days before night one, you're going to be down to like bringing Tim Tebow out of retirement as a possibility.
Well, I think Starkey has him on his list.
We're
going
to get back to Duck Hodges. But trust me, I've looked into this. We can get a month out of it with legitimate guys, including the draft.
But you can't get 70 days or whatever, right?
No, we'll do it twice.
Well, we have weekends off that we don't have to worry about it, Joe, right?
That's exactly right.
What do you think about Matt Canada coming back, by all indications? I mean, I guess Tomlin made it as official as he could the other day. Surprised at all?
No. I mean, I thought it could have gone either way just because of how impotent they were on offense, especially in the first half of games and the second half of the season when, you know, theoretically your young guys are starting to understand it more. Maybe you can put in more in your script and you can scheme things from the start. But I'm not as down on Canada as seemingly the rest of the known universe. I don't really want to defend him either, because some of the play calls are undoubtedly ridiculous. And I've been one of the people on more Thursdays than not who stand down there on the south side and ask him questions and get fed nothing in return for an explanation about those play calls. But when I look, just kind of take a step back and look at it objectively, and everything that you could put blame on for the offensive failing, I mean, what makes more sense? That Canada, a guy who's been an offensive coordinator for two decades, albeit mostly at the college level, but is generally regarded as a pretty smart guy in the sport, just all of a sudden forgot how to draw offensive plays? Or that the offensive line, and maybe even more so the quarterback, the 39-year-old quarterback he was drawing them up for, just isn't really good enough to execute them?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, and he does have really only a college resume. And isn't the college resume a bit spotty? I mean, the best job he ever had was LSU in terms of profile, and he got fired
before the season was over.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's some ups and there's some downs in his track record, of course. And I think that probably goes for every coordinator everywhere, unless you spend a lot of time at somewhere like Ohio State or Alabama, and you just have superior talent year in and year out.
But what I'm saying, I guess, Brian, is where has this guy thrived year after year and built this reputation as some? He never struck me as somebody that everybody wanted.
And I don't
think they won like a battle to land him. Maybe Miami was interested.
Don't forget that his year at Pitt, then Narduzzi trashed him, right? Said we really didn't do that much. He wasn't that good. I think that was more personal because he left.
He had one great year. Incredible year. So I don't know, man. I don't know about this guy. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, definitely coaching matters in the NFL. I don't know that it matters as much in this league as it does in college in some ways. I think it is a player's league in that sense. And if you're an offensive coordinator with good talent, you're going to have success unless, you know, you're truly in over your head. I just don't get that feeling with Canada. I mean, I've talked to people who said that the guy knows schemes. He's he's smart with the X's and O's. Of course, that's what everybody said about him when he first got promoted here. And you know, I think it was Sean McVay on a podcast last year said he really loved a lot of the concepts that Canada was introducing in the college game. And so much of that stuff, it trickles up to the NFL now. So I guess I don't put a ton of stock into this. He's running a college offense at the pro level, and it's not going to work. I mean, it's not like he brought in the triple option or something. So I think he was kind of a pro style slash spread type in, at that level as well. So I don't know. Like I said, I don't think he did a good job, but it's, you know, everything I mentioned, it doesn't shock me that Tomlin might think it was more on the player personnel than it was on the coaching personnel that they had so many issues.
So where do you fall on the argument? I know our colleague Jerry Dulac has tweeted out and opined and reported that Canada was handcuffing Ben. Like you mentioned, it's a players' league, but I'm thinking that if you asked Ben, he would say he wasn't given enough freedom. And then I'm sure that you saw this. There was this quote from Troy Aikman about why the Cowboys didn't throw to C.D. Lamb in that game the other day. And he basically said, because in this league you get overindulgent coordinators who think they're smart instead of just taking what's there. And then Ryan Switzer said that might as well be Ben talking. Then Deontay Johnson retweeted it. So what's true here? Did he let Ben do what he wanted, or did he handcuff Ben?
And then we have the Mason Rudolph comment from yesterday that, you know, I don't know that he meant for this to, you know, blow up the way that it has. But, I mean, he came out and said that, you know, he's not an 18-year established veteran, and he's not going to have as much luxury, is the word he used, to request play calls and, you know, tell Canada what he likes and stuff like that. I don't think that he was trying to throw Ben under the bus or anything with that. I think he was more speaking plainly. So, yeah, there's a whole lot of back and forth, and we might never get the truth. You know, Matt Canada isn't going to call me up and lay it all out, and neither is Ben. I wish they would. That would make things pretty easy for me. But all we can really go off of is, you know, some of the reporting that's there. I'm sure a guy like Ryan Switzer, who's very close with Ben, is getting that kind of right from the horse's mouth, in a sense. But, you know, I still come back to, you know, regardless of what's being schemed and whether it's Ben going off script or whether it's Canada being too rigid, I don't think that Ben was making very many pinpoint throws anymore. I mean, he had some good fourth quarters and second halves, but we know the defense is mostly softened up in those situations. So all that really matters is the opinion of Tomlin and company at the end of the day. And it sure seems like they think, as he said, Canada brings some attractive things to the table. So it's not like he's getting an all-pro quarterback to work with next year either. So it's still going to be tough sledding if he can't figure out a way to bend his X's and O's to the pieces that he has.
Didn't Mason go out of his way to say, didn't he use the word, I'll surrender to what Matt wants next year? Didn't he use that word? Whatever he wants?
You're right, Ron. That was a little bit of a weird choice of phrase. Maybe he wishes he could have that one back. But, yeah, that's what he said. He'll basically surrender to Matt. I guess the unspoken part there is the previous guy did not do that. I don't know that that's really healthy either. I think when you get to the pro level, any quarterback and offensive coordinator should have some give and take. I also thought it was interesting that Rudolph said that, because if you go back to when they were planning for the Chargers game, when Ben was on the COVID list, Canada said that he's going to work with Rudolph to figure out plays that he likes and plays that he doesn't like, throws that he prefers over others. So I don't know. Everybody's being a little bit too deferential here, but that was the same exact thing last offseason when Canada was first promoted. Him and Ben were falling over each other to say that it's going to be the other guy's show.
Well, I think it's only smart for a coordinator to do what a quarterback feels comfortable doing. Bruce Arians always said that I'd be stupid to make him do something he doesn't want to do. But I wanted to ask you if you were pretty glad you weren't the guy who asked if he saw the tunnel at the end of the, what was it? Carrot at the end of the tunnel yesterday.
I guess I could have chimed back in and saw if he saw the light at the end of the stick. But I don't know. I mean, Rudolph's interview was pretty entertaining overall. And I heard you guys say that you've already forwarded Ray Fittipaldo for consideration to Gene Collins.
Oh, Ray already took ownership for it. He's a good sport, so.
I guess you could put a carrot anywhere you want, really. Maybe it's not that bad of a malaprop.
Carrot at the end of the tunnel.
I just don't notice know if you'd notice it, though, Brian. If you picture yourself, let's say, driving through a tunnel, would you notice a carrot?
Depends how big it is.
True. That's a good point, Ron. Right? I hadn't thought of that yesterday.
I hear you.
May we end here with a rousing game of yes or no, Brian?
Yes.
As the title of the game would imply, your job is simply to say yes or no. Are you ready?
Yes.
That was a trick question, Ron. He passed the first test. Joe Hayden's here next year.
No.
Terrell Edmonds is here.
No.
Devin Bush gets that fifth-year option this offseason.
No.
Ooh.
Joe Schobert returns next year.
Yes.
Mm. They draft a quarterback in the first round.
No.
They draft a quarterback, period.
Yes.
Juju returns.
No.
The starting center is J.C. Hassenauer.
No.
Kendrick Green moves to guard.
No.
Zach Banner starts a game.
Ooh. No.
Yeah, that was two words. Almost three. Stephon Tuitt will play here next year.
No.
And lastly, Kalen Ballage's role in the offense will expand.
Nope.
Well, I think both of us were a little surprised by two of your answers there. I think we seem to think Bush will get the fifth-year option. They've invested so much in him that they're not going to just let him go, I wouldn't think. The other part of that is Schobert, I thought, was a major disappointment, and I'm under the understanding they can get out of that contract without it being real hurtful.
Yeah, Ron, I guess, you know, the challenge of that game is that I would have liked to explain both answers, and yet I had no recourse to do so.
Well, now you do. Now you do.
but it's not like they'd be letting Bush go. They'd have him for another season, and they could make a decision after that if he plays really well. You know, they have first right of refusal to come back to him, the way they might do with Terrell Edmonds. I was on the fence about that. So that's my thinking there. With Schobert, yeah, I think they would bring him back on a lower, much cheaper deal because he wasn't very good. Mike Tomlin was probably more critical of him than anybody that he was asked about yesterday. But, you know, if nobody else wants him either, then I could see the Steelers coming back to him and saying, hey, just take this lesser deal like they did with Vince Williams. And, you know, I think Schobert liked it here and might want to stay.
The other thing that jumped out, and now I forgot what you said about Hassenauer, but you said that you didn't think Kendrick Green would move to guard. So you think he'll stay at center and be the starter?
Yeah, I think everybody's writing him off a little bit too early. Don't get me wrong, he wasn't good, but, I mean, it was one season for a guy who was making the transition from guard to center from college to the NFL. I think that's how the Steelers will view it as well, and that he will get the inside track to try again.
Thank you, Brian.
You're welcome. See you, fellas.
There he goes, Brian Batko. You can read his stuff at postgazette.com. You can text us on the Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line, 412-928-93.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
70. Ron, let's be honest here. Nobody's ever been able to recreate the Butterfinger or even come close. The one good thing about our new vending machine, it has full-size Butterfingers.
I don't like Butterfingers.
No?
I do not.
I'm What's not your much favorite of a candy, candy bar?
Man. I'm just a Twix man.
Twix.
Or yeah. Kit Kats. That I can handle. I'm not much of a caramel nut guy, all stuck together. Doesn't it stick on your teeth?
It does. I kind of like that,
actually.
But you
love it, right?
Yeah. It's like the aftertaste when you'd pour milk on your Cocoa Puffs, remember?
Then you get the chocolate milk. But I like the aftertaste of cereal.
Ron, we also have a problem. We may have gone too far with Ray Fittipaldo and the carrot at the end of the tunnel.
Why is that?
For the first time, he appears to be giving Horse the Belfont snorkel. Horse is trying to confirm his appearance tomorrow. Ray, who gets back to people faster than any man I've ever known, has not gotten back to him in a significant amount of time.
Ray, he has, you know, he might be off today, has kids, could be doing something.
Do you think he took offense that
we jumped on the carrot
at the end of the tunnel comment?
We both tweeted him. Did Collier ever get back to you?
Oh, yeah. He said this is big news, basically. He said it's already in the hopper for next year's column.
Oh, man. I hope. Now, Ray's a good sport.
Very nice, man. He'll be on tomorrow, I would imagine. All right. Let's debut a second new game here, Ron. I'm a little nervous. I don't know how this is going to go. But darn it, that's the excitement of it, huh? This is called Joe's Favorites. Good name for the game?
Sure.
We could come up with a new one if you think of something. Because a lot of what I do when I'm thinking of topics and things is I'll, you know, we all scroll through Twitter. I'll press the like button. Doesn't mean I necessarily like what I saw, but I wanted to
save it aside.
Put it in the hopper.
Right.
Yes. And I have a bunch of these that we never get to. I'm just going to read random likes. And if this leads us into a stimulating conversation, we'll go with it. If it doesn't, we'll move on.
We'll move on.
Right.
That's a reasonable approach.
Are you ready, Ron?
I'm ready.
It's a little bit random, but that's okay.
Random sometimes is okay.
This one from Pro Football Focus. Bills safety Jordan Poyer hasn't allowed a touchdown in 530 consecutive snaps. That almost sounds ridiculous.
Safety?
Yes. Him and Micah Hyde. You saw the interception Micah Hyde made on
tremendous.
Mac Jones.
That was tremendous.
Do you think that these safeties, this secondary, this defense can do something against Patrick Mahomes? Do enough to win the game?
The Bills secondary?
Yes.
No. To win the game. But, I mean, obviously Josh Allen's going to have to do his part with the offense. I think Mahomes is going to pick apart anybody. I think he's that good. I think they, you know, maybe not quite leave Kelsey open for a 48-yard touchdown when
on third and 12
you were back in Pittsburgh and you were closer to than anyone the Steelers had on them. I don't know that they're going to do that, but I don't know that anybody shuts down Mahomes, especially playing at home.
Well, Jordan Addison is the next one. This comes from our friend John Football. Jordan Addison involved in the name, image, likeness, landscape, and it looks like he's photographed next to a beautiful Bowser automobile, Power of Bowser. Addison tweets out, excited to announce my partnership with Bowser Auto this year, Ron. Looks like a beautiful red truck that he's standing next to. What do you make of this whole thing? We haven't talked about NIL in a while. Do you think that this is going smoothly? I do, as a matter of fact.
You know, I've heard, you know, maybe the best way to answer that is I've heard it is not, it's not going on, not smoothly. I'm not hearing any complaints about it. You know, Bowser's a big pit sponsor. You know that they're going to step up and try to make sure the star players are happy here, and they can do it all within the rules and all. So I'm not surprised by it at all. I've not heard any negative feedback about it. You know, I guess Nick Saban said something about it. The rich are going to get richer. Well, he's certainly one of the rich. He shouldn't be complaining about it. But I don't know that that's going to be the case. I saw something, a headline. I didn't get a chance to read it, that West Virginia business people were stepping up for their athletes in West Virginia. And as Huggins told me when I was down there, they're the biggest game in town. Their kids are all over the billboards, and they don't have to share it with Ben and Sidney Crosby. They're the biggest right. people in the state. And I certainly wouldn't describe West Virginia as one of the haves in college athletics. They're going to do okay with it.
I thought your answer was comprehensive and rather stimulating, Ron. I'm going to let it stand.
All right.
Tom Brady from Pro Football Talk says he doesn't get special treatment on roughing the passer calls. And in fact, we have the audio. Put those headphones on here, Ron. This is Tom Brady with Jim Gray, and this is good stuff. And then there is some data that will either support or not support Brady's contention here. Take a listen to this.
Tom, there's this perception around the National Football League that you get favorable treatment. Not sure exactly why that perception exists. You've had one roughing the passer call this entire season until yesterday.
Yeah, I always hear that to different degrees about getting penalties and so forth and roughing the passers. And I think that speaks to it, because they say that and I'm always in my mind going, I don't remember the last time I got a roughing the passer, you know. And I think we should look that up, you know, over the last whatever 10 years, who's got the most roughing the passer penalties. I hope it's not me, because then I just, you know, put my foot in my mouth. But I don't feel like I get them as much as people may think that I get them. I do know that they probably let me get away with a lot of unsportsmanlike conducts, you know, talking smack to the other team and talking smack to the refs when I don't think I get the right call.
I like that answer.
So I have the data. Do you think
didn't he get one in the game on Sunday, which I thought was a ridiculous call?
Well, that's the one that led to this
right.
conversation.
I thought it was a ridiculous call. The guy did. I don't know what the guy was supposed to do, but go ahead.
Do you think Brady is right or wrong when he says that I don't get many roughing the passer calls? What's your inclination?
You know what? Because he was so adamant about it, I'll probably say he's right.
He's right, Ron. In the last 10 years, he's 10th in roughing the passer calls. I believe, if I saw the stat correctly, Horace, correct me if I'm wrong, Matthew Stafford was
number
the
one.
Guy who got the most calls. Brady only got the 10th most. And as noted by Chris Collinsworth via Pro Football Talk, Brady actually has the 4th lowest rate of roughing the passer calls among all qualifying quarterbacks since 2015.
Now, is that a part of Matt Stafford playing on bad teams in Detroit behind bad lines where he's going to get hit
more often than
Brady does?
Right.
Brady doesn't get hit too many times.
I know, but
clean or unclean.
His contention appears to be correct.
Okay. But I liked his line about getting away with talking smack to the officials, because I think he moans as much as anybody
yes.
in the league.
There's no doubt about that. I found that whole thing very fascinating. I think this is going well, Ron.
So far,
Joe's
we're off
favorites.
To a 2-for-2 start.
Do you like this so far?
I do like it so far.
Our very own Kale Burger, the Burgermeister, with a tweet. Would have made a great Steeler, he says, in response to Pro Football Focus college sports. Creed Humphrey's 93.8 run blocking grade is the highest ever for a rookie offensive lineman. Ron, should they have drafted him instead of Freiermuth? Even if we think Freiermuth's going to be good.
It's already good. It's so easy. You know, and I was one. I'm not going to pat myself on the back. I wrote after the draft that I thought Freiermuth was a luxury pick. You know, I thought Ebron would be okay. You know, there's a name out of the past, isn't it? I totally forgot.
Who? Yeah.
forgot about him. Now, I didn't know anything about Creed Humphrey. Again, you know, a lot of people put a lot of stock in Pro Football Focus more than me do. But, I mean, just say it's true. I would much rather have that offensive lineman with that talent than the tight end with his talent.
Here's a good one, and I'll get to the Pirates one right after it. Andrew Brandt. You know, there's a lot of numbers out there. Hey, if you're going to pay a quarterback, you know, you're probably not going to win a championship. And there are numbers to back it to this point. But I've contended for a long time that it's getting to the point where everybody has to pay their quarterback, so nobody has an advantage. As Andrew Brandt tweets out, 7 of the final 8 teams have quarterbacks with top-of-the-market veteran contracts. The can't-contend-with-a-top-paid QB is a tired and lazy narrative. I agree. You?
Say it again. 7 of the top 8?
Have huge contracts.
Who's the exception in that?
I don't know.
Well, let's go through
it. Probably Garoppolo.
Burrow,
I don't know.
Burrow maybe not. Well, Burrow was number one pick. Yeah, Garoppolo probably.
Does Burrow have a second deal yet?
It's probably Burrow. You know, now he's certainly going to get a monster deal. It's not going to be Tannehill. I mean, how about him? Does he make huge
money? I don't know,
money?
But the point in the end by Brandt is forget this idea that you can't win if you're paying your quarterback all kinds of money, because it's just not true.
Right. You just have to make smart decisions with what you do with the rest of your money.
Yes. He says it's a cop-out. You have a $200 million payroll. $30 million goes to your quarterback. You still have $170 million for the rest of your team, half of which are on rookie contracts. It's a cop-out, Ron. I agree with him.
I agree.
Maybe a couple of years ago I wouldn't have, but now everybody's basically signed or is about to. Who's any good? Huge deals.
But I think it does, when you get that quarterback making that money, it makes it a little more challenging. Not impossible. But I think the reason everyone thought the Ravens were every year so good is they weren't paying Lamar Jackson the top money. Now they're going to have to.
Right.
They're going to have to make smart decisions elsewhere.
Yeah. Yeah. But they won't be different from most other teams, teams with bad quarterbacks.
Right. Exactly.
Which might be this one. Lastly, Ron, your Pittsburgh Pirates have landed 6 prospects on Baseball America's top 100. O'Neill Cruz, 14. Henry Davis, 41. Nick Gonzalez, 49. Livier Peguero, I believe, is 78th. Ronzi Contreras, 80th. And Quinn Priester, who's dropped a bit, actually, at 88. What make you this of this? This is more than most teams. Only 2 teams have as many players on the list.
This is what they brought in Ben Cherington for, to rebuild the farm system and to give them a chance down the road. No, none of those guys, I guess, except maybe Cruz, right, and Contreras could be playing this year, I don't think. But it gives you a little bit of reason for hope down the road. And this is what they have to do to try to be competitive for a certain period of time. Now, I guess the counter to that is, by the time these guys are good, what's going to be Brian Reynolds' situation? Is he going to be gone?
Right.
He's going to be making so much money. Cabrian Hayes, you know, how long are they going to have him to overlap with these guys? That's the catch 22 with all that. But I think, you know, certainly good news to have those prospects that highly rated.
Yeah, I mean, the Tampa Bay model is to draft a bunch of them, but it's also to make smart trades. That's what people don't talk about with the Tampa Bay model. It's to make smart trades.
You mean
so,
not trading for...
the one they had with Neil Huntington.
Yeah, not trading. I can't even remember. Who's the pitcher's name now?
Chris Archer. Yeah, that
probably
was
a
bad idea.
One.
But the idea, Ron, is to flood your system and flood your team with enough good players and that you're not wholly dependent on Brian Reynolds for your whole future, that you can move on from him and still win. So they're headed in the right direction. The bad news here is that Quinn Priester is a guy that they were counting on to be a top-of-the-rotation guy. And as our Jason Mackey, the Post-Gazette, wrote, it's a little funky to see him drop so much after he had such a solid year. Something's up there. They need that guy, or certainly could use him anyway, to be a top 20 type prospect.
That doesn't mean he can't bounce back and be that guy this year. And again, this is just somebody's opinion, right? Or a group of people's opinion.
Wonderful point, Ron. And I think we ended on a high note. Horse, I'm encouraged by Joe's favorites. I thought it went well. You?
I like it.
See that now.
No, it kind of spoils it for you.
Did you hear that?
Yeah, I know.
I like it. That's what he said, just
can
like
we,
that.
Can we?
No, Ron, we have to, let me deal with this. This was a big deal for me to put this out there. And Horace has met it with a less than enthusiastic, I
what
like
do you
it.
Want, bells
he almost
and
asked
whistles,
a question.
What do you want, bells and whistles?
No, I just want to say, yeah, that was really good, or something like that.
The man
it was so
he's
lukewarm.
Not, no,
said I like it.
It sucked.
It's
no, we're never
Jules
doing it
Mike.
Again.
He's no
it
not
sucked,
to,
Horace.
He's no not to lie, though. He doesn't
I
think
know,
it is.
He can't help but lie. He didn't think it was that good. It was almost a question.
Can I say something now?
I like it.
Can I say something?
Yes.
I want to talk just hockey for a minute when we come back, okay?
Anything
this
in Penguin, particular?
This Penguins power rating from ESPN is just fascinating to me.
Let's also talk about the Matt Murray situation.
Oh, there's another one. Somebody who said that to me, who was I talking to yesterday that said, can you imagine winning two cups and being sent to the minor leagues? Unbelievable.
Yeah, it's
what's
been,
happened to him?
Yeah, man. It's been something. We'll talk about that next. You can watch live video of what's... I'm not doing that ever again. That was the first and last Joe's favorites because of Horse's reaction.
I thought it was very good. Woo-woo! Yeah, baby, it was great.
Now, that's what I wanted to hear, Horse. Or at least something other than a compliment phrased as a question. Can we redo that? Although you can never take away your first reaction. What did you think?
Initial reaction is always the telling.
It is.
I own the responsibility of being an easy person to work with.
I love that quote. Horace, what did you honestly think of Joe's favorites? I thought we covered a lot of ground. I thought Ron did some of his best work.
It's my favorite segment.
There we go. All right, Ron, we'll do it again tomorrow. Shall we?
Sure.
You can watch live video of what's going on in the studio. Take a look at 937thefan.com. Go to shows and go to live video.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Ron, you wanted to talk a little Penguins. I just mentioned that they're finally healthy. And, man, when they've not been healthy, either through injury, through COVID protocol, they've been doing some amazing things this season. But you had a particular angle, yes?
Yeah, I mean, ESPN puts out these power rankings, and they are what they are, just somebody's opinion or a group of people's opinion. Let me list the teams that they have ranked before we get to the Penguins.
When did it come out?
Today.
Today, okay.
Today, I believe, all right. Or maybe yesterday. But the Penguins on a 13-2 run, 18-4-1 in their past 23 games, and as you pointed out, without a healthy team, really. Number one, Florida Panthers, okay. Number two, Colorado. Number three, Carolina. Number four, Tampa Bay. Number five, Toronto. Number six, Boston. Number seven, Vegas. Number eight, the New York Rangers. Number nine, the Minnesota Wild. Number 10, the Washington Capitals. And now we get down to number 11, the Pittsburgh Penguins. They dropped from 10 last week to 11, and here's the takeaway. Bend but don't break. The Penguins were flying high into 2022, then turbulence hit. How they navigate the bumps will tell us and them a lot. Louis Domingue had stepped up in net, and Chris Letang is firing from the blue line. But Sidney Crosby has one goal since December 10th, and Kasperi Kapanen has gone ice cold. Time to pick it up. I don't know. Kapanen, I think, is starting to play better with Malkin a little bit. Sid's game is still good. I didn't even realize he only had one goal. Their turbulence, they had one bad game in L.A.
And yeah, then, I'm not buying a lot of that.
And then, I guess they won the game where in San Jose with it, they weren't really, like Mike Sullivan always says, we didn't really like our game, but they still won and then had the bad first period the other night in Vegas and stormed back to win 5-3. I don't know. I think they're one of the hottest teams in the sport right now. And, again, it doesn't really matter where you are on January 20th, but I like the way they're playing now. And now, Heinen, I guess, is back tonight. He's off the COVID list. Aston Reese. They got some interesting choices to make with that lineup.
Well, they're wrong about the Vegas, first of all. The Penguins are 3 points ahead of them with two games in hand, if you want to look at that.
They just
came back and beat them. At Vegas, they're better than Minnesota. They're better than Washington, who they have two games in hand on and only 2 points back of. They're better than Toronto. The other ones, I think the Penguins should probably be sixth or seventh right now.
I mean, I can't argue with Florida and Carolina and Colorado and Tampa. I can't argue with them. But then after that, Boston, I don't know. Boston jumped from 13 to 6.
Ron, it should have been Matt Murray night tonight. And, man, I was looking forward to that because I feel like, first of all, it feels like 10 years ago that he left here. It was at the beginning of last season. It was in October of 2020. It felt to me like that just blew me away. He's a guy that I feel like needs to be remembered very, very fondly because without him.
They don't win two cups.
Well, an era that was pretty good, might never have become really, really good. It might have been disappointing without him.
Now, the story you say he's not going to be there tonight, is that correct?
Didn't even travel.
That's unfortunate because I would have loved to have seen a tribute to him, and I think Pittsburgh hockey fans are smart enough to give him a rousing ovation for what he did here. Now, he was never Marc-Andre Fleury. That was the thing that worked against him. He was never going to be as popular as Fleury. And that one game where he got jeered when he made the save, I asked him about it, and he gave me a terse no comment, which said everything. I was embarrassed for Pittsburgh hockey fans that night. To jeer that guy like that, and his game fell off. I mean, there's no doubt. But I would have hoped tonight he would have came back and got a rousing ovation with a video tribute.
I think he would have.
And I think he would have.
Because I feel like among some, I don't want to build a straw man here, but I feel like among some, there's this idea that he was a passenger on those teams.
Not at all.
And it's flat out false, and I can point to some games in those runs. He stopped 44 of 47 in games 6 and 7 against Tampa in the first cup run.
Right.
We know Tampa was getting ready to be really good. They were already talented. So he won that series after Fleury faltered, remember, in game 5. Then 16 playoffs also, series against the Capitals tied 1-1. And they come in here. The Penguins are shorthanded. I think Letang missed the game.
He was suspended for the one game, I believe.
They outshot the Penguins 49-23 in game 3, which is always a swing game. The AP lead in that story. Out-hit, out-shot, largely outplayed. Pittsburgh grabbed control of this semifinal. Blame it on a 21-year-old rookie goalie who hardly seems intimidated. Matt Murray made 47 saves. I could go on and on. The two shutouts at the end of the Nashville series.
The Nashville series is the one that I'll always remember. I was even thinking maybe they should go back to Fleury after Game 5. And he pitched two shutouts in Game 4, I guess it was, and then he pitched two shutouts in games 5 and 6.
Man, again.
He had great moments here and was much more than a passenger. Now, they made the decision to trade, let Fleury leave and keep him. It was the absolute right decision at the time for me. Didn't work out. I know that. But the biggest thing about Murray is he wasn't warm and loving, lovable like Fleury was. That was his biggest sin here.
But I think if he played well, people could have overlooked that if he had kept winning. But I agree with you. I think the two biggest things Matt Murray had to overcome were his own success, two Stanley Cups technically as a rookie, and Marc-Andre Fleury. Those were Fleury.
I'm going down to the rink tonight, I believe, and I was kind of looking forward, even if he didn't start, I was looking forward to the tribute that they would have paid him.
Maybe Fleury wins those cups. It sure didn't look like it the first time around, though. He came in Game 5 against Tampa and bombed. I don't think they win that series if Sully doesn't go back to Matt Murray. The second year, I think Fleury did the heavy lifting that year. I do, by
first
beating the
series,
Capitals.
Right.
Their best team they played was the Capitals. But do they get by Ottawa if he doesn't go back to Murray? The fact is that Murray won it, and the fact is that an era with so many great players may be looked upon right now as an underachieving disappointment if it weren't for Matt Murray.
I couldn't agree more.
All right, Ron, top of the hour. You can listen to Cook and Joe every Wednesday to hear about Starkey's Card of the Week from the Baseball Card Castle and Cranberry Contest. Run every Wednesday through Friday at noon at the 93.7thefan.com contesting page. So top of the hour, we're gonna finish our look back at the Steelers, and we're going to start with these two categories for Ron and you. The best coaching move and the worst coaching move.
We didn't even grade the coaches, though.
Season. We can add that in.
We graded the coordinators. We didn't grade the head coach.
That's right.
We graded Tomlin as the defensive coordinator, but we didn't grade Tomlin.
Let's do that. And that'll lead us right into that question and many others, including, what do you think was the best and worst moment of this entire Steelers season? What was the best win and the worst loss or tie?
I have my choices for those.
Good. We'll be ready.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.